increases and trends. Blessed are all who die in the knowledge of God. They rest a while from labor, and their works follow them. And though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need fear of no evil. God is with us, his guidance and strength will comfort and sustain us until the journey's end. We spend our years as a tale that is told, and so soon they pass away and we are gone. But the spirit endureth forever, from life through death to more abundant life. It wends its way through the many schools of God to its eternal home in the divine presence. God is our only refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In the fullness of time comes the harvesting. The golden sheaves are garnered, and the husbandman rejoices that his labor has not been in vain. He thanks the giver of all good, whose laws have thus fulfilled his purposes. We are ears of corn in the fields of life, ripening for the great reaper to gather us into the harvest home in the sweet homeland beyond. Man, too often ignorant regarding his heritage of continued existence, sees but bloom and sorrow in death. He notes the drooping of the young, the failing of early prime, the steadily advancing snows of age. His heart aches, the brevity of life seems pitiful, the ending so swift that in anguish he asks, what is there beyond? He muses that if life be all, then all too brief is life. The little span of 80 years scarce affords him time to know that he truly lives. Youth and age alike ever feel the coming of the white angel all too soon. But truly God knows best, for assuredly his will and wisdom ruleth all things wisely and well. Let us pray. After which, sing that lovely hymn number 318, after the prayer. The infinite spirit of love, wisdom, and law, whom we have learned to call our Father, Mother God, we draw aside from the care and the turmoil of everyday life into the quiet of this thy sanctuary, that we might bid adieu the physical remains of one whom we have loved. We pray, O Father, for thy love, the companionship of thy angels, thy ministering ones who are ever around and that to bless. We give thanks, O God, for the knowledge of immortality, for the realization of the words in thy holy writ that in thy house are many mansions, is indeed true. We give thanks for that life of progression, of reality, of love, of law, and of justice which thou hast prepared for us. And in the quietude of this moment, solemn inasmuch that thou who hast the mystery of birth, life, and of death, has vouchsafed to us a little of the mysteries of life. And we give thanks for the knowledge of those mysteries. In the limited understanding which we have, and yet in the fullness of joy and the realization of the continuity of life after physical death. For we realize, O Father, that the day of death is also day of resurrection, and therefore we would not mourn as Rachel, as all, is without hope, but rather Father, would we give thanks for one who has been released from the limitations of the flesh, the difficulties of life on earth, its trials and its tribulations, into that land of wider experience. We pray, O God, that she shall be received in those realms of light by those who have journeyed forward before her, by thy ministering angels who tend all those who pass through the transitional stage of mortality into immortality. And as we ponder, O God, upon these things, may we rededicate ourselves at this time in thy service, in love to our fellows on earth, to bring comfort where there is mourning, health where there is sickness, and joy where there is sadness. As we give thanks for those who have labored as our risen sister did for humanity in unstinted manner many years ago. And rather would we remember all those at this time who labor for humanity in love and loving service, rather than would we remember the vicissitudes of life, the difficulties of life, rather would we pray that the example which they have set us might indeed reinforce our endeavours to follow in the pathway of thy ministers of all time who have sought to set man free. Therefore we come in humility, praying for thy grace, O God, praying for thy comfort and thy uplift, as we give thanks for the release of one who has no journey into the realms of light. Amen. Let us join together in singing hymn number 318. Lead kindly light amid the encircling gloom, lead thou me on.
Thank you.
Death is the gateway of life, in truth to die is to gain. In all ages, the eye of faith has caught glimpses of the serene regions of the life beyond. Prophets, poets, seers of all ages have upheld the hope of immortality, while visions and visitations from the spirit realms have added knowledge to faith, giving man the certainty that death does not end all. A great comfort is ours in the knowledge that death is truly a part in the great plan of life. As the rose buds and blossoms, making summer hours fragrant, so in due time the human spirit buds, blossoms, and is made ready to be transplanted to the more congenial life of the summerland beyond. To die is as natural as to live, for there is no death. It is but the higher birth, a stepping ape from clay, away from earth, a spirit disenthralled, forever free. It is but renewing life, not death to me. As the bud contains the flower, so we contain the finer elements of supernal forms. Those forms, fashioned in life, are liberated by death, that they may evermore grow beautiful under the clearer skies of the spheres of glory and light towards which each and all of us are surely tending. How can we say there is no death? Because those once came to death are oft about us, not as phantoms of our dreams, nor articles of a faith, but as realities. The arisen ones of our hearths and homes, the friends of former years, parents, children, the loved and the loving, for they come when we wander, they come when we pray, in mercy to guide us wherever we stray, a glorious cloud their bright witness is given. And encircling us here are those angels of heaven. Not cleansing fires, but cleansing tears remove ills and sorrows, cleansing our minds, our loves, freeing us from the impurities of unkindness and uncharitableness, that tears of joy are also shed, of joyful thankfulness that wounds are healed and that the hate has been gained at last. The tears that give ease to sorrow, that relieve the overcharged breast, are to nature's means to ease her children's grief. Be not ashamed to receive her great mother's kindly help. Bowing to the wonderful mystery of death, yet lifting your faces that they may be flushed with the glory of life, let us rejoice that another has gone a little farther along the road that our feet are treading. Even as the angels have welcomed those who have journeyed hitherto, so will they welcome our liberated sister and us when we also cross the bar and reach the country of our home. In our opening remarks of the formal part of our service, friends, and I've said so many on so many occasions that the formality of words so often illustrates and indicates the paucity of words. But in the opening of words, it said, they rest a while from labor, and of their works follow them. And their works follow them. Our arisen sister, in the later years of her life, did not enjoy robust health. There was the lack of hearing. There was the lack of sight. There was difficulty in breathing. for there was difficulty in mobility. And this restricted her and those around her, of course, to who had to care for her to a very, very great degree. And it would be foolish for us to suggest that we can understand the mystery of pain and of suffering. We may have advanced in intellectual knowledge, in scientific knowledge, in our responsibility through social services, and perhaps I hope and pray individually also for the care of each other. But to say that we understand the mystery of pain would be to exceed our knowledge. And yet I am quite sure that in God's goodness and the wisdom of the progressive life which we know that we are travelling to, the compensations will be great. For the law of compensation and retribution, the law of cause and effect, as Jesus said, as ye sow, so shall ye also reap, is very, very true. And this we know with certainty from the sacred communion and contact which we have had on such occasions with those who have enlightened us regarding the realms of spirit. And their opening words and their work shall follow them is very apt today, because let us forget just for a moment the pain, the suffering, the immobility, the difficulties of life. And let us take our minds back 50 years or more, or less, a short space of time. In the span of life is not very important. When our sister battled with all the might that she had, that the underprivileged of this town might be raised to a higher social, intellectual level. And what joy it is that I welcome into our midst this afternoon her great colleague and cooperator who also shared that burden in those days. I speak almost with reverence of the name of Mrs. Cusden, who is here with us today. For in those days when the dignity of man in this town was indeed at a low ebb in many quarters, that the divisions of rank and power were far greater than ever they are today, when in the particular ward that our risen sister worked for, there were toilets, communal toilets of one toilet to about six houses, and one outside tap to serve six houses. And the squalor and the degradation was something which happily today we know little of in our own experience, although I have no doubt it still exists. And her works are indeed following her. And her very works were the very cause of her being prevented to work in the way that she had dedicated herself for so many years. Because with Mrs. Cusden here and others, many of whom have already passed to those realms of light, they fought and fought and fought for a communal housing estate to be built. I think I'm right in saying that it was a Shinfield Road one in that area, that people could be moved into out of the appalling conditions of which I have spoken. And in doing this, in the decimation of those hovels which were called houses, and the transference of the people into a better and a happier existence, it decimated the population of the ward which she had served so faithfully. and was the result of losing her seat. But that estate is still in being. People are still benefiting from the works that she and her colleague and others like her fought for and to a degree tried. And therefore let us forget and leave in the hands of God's wisdom the pain and the suffering of life. We shall not be able to understand it until we are far more advanced than what we are at the present, in our present stage of existence and knowledge and learning. But I'm certain that in due time, that the whole of this earthly pilgrimage, we shall be able to look back upon from those realms of life with a greater knowledge and a greater wisdom and a greater understanding of God's will, love and purpose. And we will be able to look back on the whole of this earthly pilgrimage, the 70+ years possibly, as we now look back upon the unhappiness of the kindergarten class at school, when to lose a ball or a doll or a packet of cigarette cards was a major tragedy in our lives, as there are major tragedies in our lives today. But with our greater knowledge, with our maturity of understanding that we have at the present moment, those kindergarten days look trivial, and in the realms of light to which we are all journeying, this life will be marked, will stand out, not so much for the major tragedies which we are experiencing now, but it will stand out for the love, the kindliness, the charity, the understanding and the tolerance which we have exercised towards our fellow men, because it is our characters for which we take into that great beyond. We come into the world with nothing. We go out of the world with nothing except our spiritual stature, which we earn along the pathway of life. No faith, no belief can remove from us the responsibilities of working out our own salvation. So in the solemnity of this moment, as we come to bid adieu to the physical remains of one who worked so many years ago, worked for humanity in her love for humanity, cannot we rededicate ourselves for the service of God through loving service to his children. God bless you. Life and death are the servants of God, love and duty, the incentives that link men to their higher selves. A well-spent mortal life is man's best acknowledgement of his indebtedness to God and to nature. Now in this place, let each search his heart in silence, that the good or ill therein may be discerned, that the one may be fostered and the other overcome. God's laws heed neither creeds nor rituals. His only ritual is the order of his laws, his church the universe, its members, all mankind, his ministers, the souls that are seers, the hearts that love, the minds that serve. His altars are human hearts, sanctified by love and service, and such shrines invite angels to visit them. The kindly word, the helpful service, even the unspoken but uplifting thought, all tend to purify and enlighten that indestructible part of us which we shall take through the veil. And then, having the knowledge of spiritual letters, we can face life or death, fearless and unafraid, knowing that the encompassing arms of divine love are bearing us onward and upward to our eternal heritage and the joys prepared for all who love God. And may God so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Bless you. Let's join together in singing that ever wonderful hymn, that ever wonderful psalm, hymn number 360, the beautiful tune of Crimon, however many times this is sung and played, the words never lose their freshness or their importance. Hymn number 360, the Lord's my shepherd, I will not want. Transport who would like to come to the crematorium, there's approximately, I think, 8 seats available in the cars outside. So if you'll make yourself known to the drivers, you'll be accommodated. And may I thank you for your presence here today. What an unhappy service it would have been if there'd been no one here. Our love going out to our risen sister means more than just her presence here, because love and loving thoughts are real, energizing things. They are a part of life, and I thank you for your presence. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hello, hello, hello. We're now testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Speaking in a conversational tone, 2 feet, 6 to 3 feet from the microphone.
Oh,
well,
no,
you're away.
We're away. Hi, everybody. How is everybody? Hope you are well. Lovely to hear all your voices the other night. We simply must do this again at Christmas, and we'll all try and get together for it.
Hello, Stan, Jenny, Mark and Maxine. This is the end of the big day for us. Douglas kindly recorded the service, and we thought you might like to hear some of the family voices, because we've all congregated at 5 Eldon Road. My love to you all. God bless. Dorry.
Incidentally, that was Paddy speaking first. You probably won't recognise it on tape.
God, did I sound that different?
The second one was Dorry, and the third one is Guess
you
Who?
Know who?
Yes. You'll probably hear the voice as the fine bass baritone, which comes over in the recording of the service, particularly in Lead Kindly Light, I think. Laughter all round, yes. Pause.
Pause, yeah.
Pause for effect, really for nothing except...
to go all beer.
Yes. We're not all here, and I won't attempt to do an impersonation, thank you to Terry on the right, of Leslie, but the next voice you'll hear will be Terry.
This is voice number 4, and it's Terry. Hello to everybody in New Zealand, and I'd also like to say it was very nice to hear from you last week, and I hope you have a good time with all the good weather you're having over there while we're sitting here in the rain pouring down. I wish you luck.
Leslie unfortunately couldn't make it because, of course, being in the show.
Since there's no knowing when you'll hear this, I'll take this opportunity of wishing you a Happy New Year for 1976.
Well, I hope you'll get it before the new year, Stan and Jenny. Love to yourselves and the children, and I hope you're all doing well. This is, of course, Doug speaking, as you can tell by his Berkshire accent. I hope that you will like the service. I try to make it as nice as possible, but of course it has to rely more or less on the inspiration of the moment. You'll be interested to know that Mrs. Cusden, as you will hear from my remarks during the service, was with us. Whether you will remember Mrs. Cusden or not, I'm not quite sure. Do you remember, Paddy?
Oh yes, and Stanwell, yeah.
And Stanwell.
Yeah.
Yes, she was the husband of the printers, of course, in Castle Street, and worked with your mother for many years on the council, and she was looking wonderfully well for her age, which I believe is about 86. And she has a grandson of 21 and 19. So there we are. I've had half the church, half of your
garage. Hello, fans, I'm here.
I can't. All this unseemly behaviour, of course, is emanating from our Barry. Unfortunately, some of them have had to go home. But we've got a whole gang from York Lodge here, as you can hear in the background, and I don't know whether I can induce some of them to say anything to you. You won't, of course, know any of them. If Barry is feeling about here, you better...
who's there anyway? Yeah.
Jenny.
Hello, Stan. Hello, Jenny. Nice to be able to speak to you over this contraption. What can I discuss with you? Very difficult looking into a little thing to me too. I can't remind you, remember that time we went fishing. No, I said that last time, didn't I?
Stan goes deep sea fishing now.
Oh, so do I. So then we've got something in common.
Yeah,
so I'll hand you over to somebody else at the moment. I'll have a think of them and come back.
Over to Dory. She's rustling somebody else up. Dory will introduce her.
We've had quite a few people that have helped us today, Stan. So I'll introduce you to the First Lady, whom we know is a great friend of ours called Gwen.
Hello all, it's nice to speak to you, even though I doubt very much if I shall ever see you. But no doubt from my voice you can tell I come from Birmingham. But I wish you all the very, very best. And it has been a wonderful day today, and we had a lovely service. Bye bye.
Now this gentleman is Dennis.
He'd be delighted to be called a gentleman, I'm sure.
I'm sorry.
Dennis, thank you very much indeed.
Ernie. And he's taken some very nice pictures, which I hope you will receive in due course. Stan and Jenny.
Hello, Stan and Jenny. It's very nice to be able to speak to you, not knowing you. But I'm sure I must say that Doug and Dory, if you knew the work they do, it would amaze you. Probably you know. But I'm sure in my heart, as many other hearts, that...
All right, here, go on.
Well, a little bit of emotion. Oh, Doris is carrying on.
She's carrying on
more senses than one. Carry on.
It's usual scramble. We had two very nice ladies, very great friends of mine from the church, who stayed behind to get all the tea and everything ready for us.
Recommended as the best washers up in the business.
That's it. I'll introduce you to Doris. Stan and Jenny.
Hello, Stan and Jenny. It's lovely to speak to you. We'd do anything we could to help Dory and Doug. And we're all work as one team and get on well at the church.
Yeah. God bless.
Thank you. God bless.
Next one. Just say hello. This is the other lady, and she never knows what to say, and her name's Lily, and she's a smasher. Say hello.
Hello, friends. How are you? It's nice to be able to speak to you so far away, and it's nice to be able to tell you what a lovely friend Dory is, and Mr. Lawrence, and I'm very happy to be a member of the church. Bye-bye, and God bless.
Seems to be a technical hitch in there here, Stan and Jenny. Hold on a minute. I don't know what's happening. They've all gone out of the room. Anyway, Mark...
brought to you a great expense, another member.
No, how do you do, friends?
This is Dennis, Stan and Jenny. And he's the other half of the photography service.
The only thing is that the camera got jammed once.
No, he the flash.
I think the technical hitch was sorted out. Over to you, Dennis.
I've lost the words for all of a sudden.
Lost the words, that's the
first one. I might have the privilege of meeting you in person.
That's right.
Yes, you're only about 12,000 miles away, but
we'll never know.
We'll get our boat safe.
Anybody in that day?
Who's going to finish up?
Come on, wait here again.
This is Paddy, and this is Dari. As you can hear, we don't change very much, really. We're just as bad as ever.
Yeah.
But one of these days, we're in the pools, and you never know, you might find us on your doorstep. God help you.
I'll pay the fare myself. One way.
Anyway. You don't need to be told who that was. Anyway, I love to you all, and we hope you'll enjoy the recording, and we hope in the not too far distant future, you'll have the photographs, and Mark shall have the album that I have promised him. God bless. Dory.
Douglas here, you might think that from the levity which you've just heard, that we haven't appreciated the somberness of the day, but it's undoubtedly a momentous occasion when you bid farewell to the physical remains of those we have loved. But I'm quite sure that no one, and least of all your mother, would have wished us to have been in a state of deep mourning, because undoubtedly her release from the physical body has been a happy one. I cannot say that over the last few years her state of health, her mobility, her hearing, her sight, or her breathing has been in such a state that you could say that it was a happy existence for her. And I'm quite sure in the realms of light which she has now entered, she will feel once more the joy of living. And therefore, how can we be unhappy on this occasion, on the day, which is, what is the date today anyway? It's the 17th of September 1904.
1704.
You see, I am still being bullied as much as ever. On the 17th of September 1974, when we had the privilege and honour of performing the last services for our mother, who worked so hard in the earlier days of her life for the benefit of humanity. God bless to all of you. And you will get this, we hope, before Christmas.
Stan, and you, Jenny, this is Paddy and Dory. We would like you to convey to your mother, Jenny, our love and our thanks for her very nice letters and her very nice cards, and give her a God bless.
Same here.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye!
Hello everybody, hold your horses for a moment. This is December the 2nd, 1974, and the tape hasn't been processed and sent off yet, and Dora's got a few more words to say to you. I'm just testing for sound just at the moment. Hold on.
Hello Stan and Jenny, this is Dory again. As Douglas has just said, it is the 2nd of December and we still haven't the tape finished. But I hope to get it into the post this afternoon. So I am really hoping you'll get it in time for Christmas. There's not a lot more to tell you, except to say that we hope you will like the recording that Douglas has done of Mum's funeral. And as we said before, we seem rather jolly, but we wouldn't wish anything else under the circumstances, and I know Mother wouldn't be sad.
two young men that spoke to you, Dennis and Ernie, the latter few days of Mother's being here, they were very greatly taken with her, and she talked to them quite a bit about her former days in the Labour movement here in Reading. And I think she really enjoyed their company. The name I used to give her was Anastasia, so this is what the boys always called her. I hope that you will receive the family album. I doubt if you will get it before Christmas. You may, there may be a stroke of luck and it may have gone out quickly. But as I said, I will try and get some more photographs so that Mark can fill the empty pages. We hope you will have a happy time at Christmas. I wonder if you'll be going away or whether you're staying home. We should be here at 5 Eldon Road, not doing very much, possibly having a rest, because we've had a very hard year, one way and the other. But we're getting on now, being pensioners, and we... Doug wouldn't like that, I don't suppose, but we are, and I feel that we need a rest. Paddy is coming down to stay with us a few days on the 10th of September after Leslie goes back to her show work. So I'm rather looking forward to that. It's nice to have her home, which of course she hasn't been able to do for so many long years. The family all send their love. They're all growing up and we see them quite frequently, and I do quite a lot of babysitting. I'm sorry, Stan, as I said in my letter to you, if you were a little upset about Mrs. Casey. She is a very nice person, and it's a lady I work for, actually, and she is very kind. She does, as I say, she doesn't always stop to think of what she's saying, but she was very kind to Mother, and I think we have to overlook many other things. I don't think there's a lot more to say. I wonder whether Doug would like to have a word with you.
Well, only to reciprocate Stan and Jenny what Dari has said. I've no doubt you're enjoying your sunshine out there. It's typical English weather here at the moment. It's dull, it's overcast, it's not raining at the moment.
And the bakers are on strike.
The bakers are on strike, so there's no bread in the shops, only in the small bakeries this morning. Anyway, we stocked up on Saturday, so we're all right for the moment. Not that we eat much bread, because we've got to watch the waistline. The weather forecast is the same as usual. It's mild for the time of year here this morning, quite mild. But it looks as if rain could come at any time, more or less, and that's the usual pattern of things in December here. I don't think we're going to have a white Christmas. It's not forecast, and everybody will be thankful for that. Because apparently the stocks of coal being forecast as extremely low, or will be extremely low by the time Christmas comes, any cold snap could mean that we should have power cuts, which is also a familiar pattern of this country. However, we get through and we can't grumble. As Doria said, we're both pensioners, and if anybody's got any idea that if you're a pensioner, you're retired, you have an easy life, well, that is very far from the truth, and I very often feel that I'd like to go back to the office for a rest. However, we will try and get this tape off today. It's got to be copied, because it's on a bigger tape altogether than the one that we should send to you. And so we'll do our best and say cheerio to you all. Up to the kiddies. They're growing up too now, I suppose. And see you anon. Cheerio.
Bye bye, Stan, Jenny. Love to Mark and Maxine, and I'd like to hear Jenny about the bracelet when you have a moment. That is if the letter isn't already in the post. So bye bye, both.
Ah, hold on, folks. Now you see, it just shows what microphone nerves can do. You may recall how I was jumped on because I said 1904 in the earlier broadcast to you on the tape, you see. They all jumped on me like Billy O, 1904, and it was 1974. Well, of course, what Dorrie meant was that Paddy was going to come to us in December, not September. But anyway, we'll gloss that over, and anyway, it's one up on me this time. Cheerio.